Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does God use a couple who met in a Christian boarding school in Kansas to build a youth camp in Oregon where 1,000 kids each week converge during the summer? This is the story of Iroh and Gwen Barrett, a testimony of extreme highs and low times, too. All the while, they've been sustained by God's gracious and supernatural working. We pause to remind you at the beginning of our show, the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you, dear friend, to know that there is always hope in Jesus. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the situation might be right now, you may feel like you have your back against the wall. Things may seem bleak or dim. But dear friend, there's hope in Christ. In Christ who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to himself. Just as you are, would you turn your heart to Christ? Would you turn your heart, open your heart to Jesus and receive him as your Savior and Lord? Well, that's our prayer. That's our hope. And Iroh and Gwen Barrett, our guests today, well, they've got a story to tell of God's grace. And as he has worked in their life, it's an indication of how God can work in yours. Iroh and Gwen live in a retirement community in Salem, Oregon, and find many opportunities for ministry through their home church, Trinity Covenant. Iroh and Gwen, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I mentioned Kansas. I mentioned a boarding school. Where did you grow up there in Kansas?
I grew up in McPherson, the same place where the school is. My parents moved there when I was 2 years old so they could put me in that school.
Hmm. What kind of school was that?
It was a Free Methodist school. At the time, it had 3 years of high school and 2 years of college.
Hmm. And so, Gwen, in that same area, where did you...
I was born in Lincoln, Nebraska, then sort of moved all over. And by the time I was in the fifth grade, I ended in Walla Walla, Washington. Because I was having problems at home, my parents sent me as a sophomore in high school back to this little boarding school. And it was a gift of gifts for me. I was there for 4 years. And that's where my faith really strengthened, and I met my husband.
Mm. Well, take us back, if you will. Where did you meet there at the school?
Oh,
well, it was on a Thanksgiving weekend, and most of the kids had gone home, but since Gwen lived in Walla Walla, a 36-hour train ride. She had to stick around and was just there at the school I was a town kid, so I didn't live at the school. But the kids were all out in the gym. There was probably 20 of them, 15 to 20, just playing volleyball and passing the time and whatever. And as a town kid, I went over there quite a bit. And I spotted this cute young thing, and I think the Lord had her set apart for me from that time.
Wow.
Gwen, what's your side of the story?
a little different. He was a town kid. It wasn't a boarding student. And so I wasn't really interested at all. And it was about a year and a half before I finally accepted a first date with him.
Mm. Wow. So she was really building some perseverance in you, wasn't she?
Yes, that's a very good observation.
Patience.
I had to wait through two or three boyfriends before I finally got my chance.
And how many wedding anniversaries have you two celebrated, please?
64.
Praise the Lord. What a beautiful story.
Who influenced you most, Irel, in your growing up years?
I'm sorry, repeat the question. Who influenced me the most in my growing up years?
Mm-hmm.
Irel, I just had a call from you.
Well, I guess my parents, there's no one person that... in the early years, but then after I went to the school, I didn't go to school there until my junior year, and Gwen started with her sophomore year. So I was there in the second year, and I made my commitment to Christ in March of that year, and the boys' dorm proctor, Bob Wright, became our mentor and the navigators, Bible study and memorization, et cetera.
We both
would get up at 6 o'clock on Monday morning to go to the boys' dorm reception room and have a Bible study. And there was only about 8 of us or so that did that. But he got up and met with us at all times. So it was good. And he was also one that said, when you get married, it would be good for us to get involved with Young Life.
So he planted the seed.
Yes, he planted the seed. He thought that we would really... enjoy it and be good.
Have you stayed in touch?
Oh, yes.
Good. Yeah.
We've been in touch with it for 64 years. So.
Wow.
But he just passed away this last year.
Well, we're going to be hearing a lot about Young Life, from what I gather, mm-hmm. in our discussion. So what was it like at the beginning, your first encounter with Young Life?
Go ahead, Irel.
Well, our first encounter with Young Life is we visited a what's called a Young Life Club. It was very large. It was in a Isaac Hall and had 400 to 500 kids there, and we didn't really know anything about Young Life. And when I told Gwen we were going to go there, she left her job of selling women's clothing and went back and got all dressed up in high heels and whatever to go to this Young Life Club. And once she got there, she realized that this is a casual deal, and she felt very out of place. So it was a huge club. I think we only went to one club like that in Salem.
Our first encounter came when Doug Coe, who now was in charge of the President's Prayer Breakfast, had gone back to D.C., but he came knocking on our door after we'd been married for 1 month and said, I heard you folks might be interested in Young Life. And the rest is history.
Gwen, do you happen to remember what year that was?
Yes, it was 1953.
Because my sister was in that Young Life group.
Oh.
And she went to Camp Malibu with Doug, with that group.
Yeah.
So isn't that ironic?
That really
is. That was in Salem High School.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It was Salem High School. Mm-hmm. And all the girls wore jeans and sat on the floor. So I was very definitely out of place in high heels and a suit.
Now, Irel, were you thinking at that time that you were possibly being led to go into vocational ministry?
Well, once that we got really involved in the Young Life Club, and we had close friends in with the pastor of the small church where we had the club, Albany, 25 miles south of Salem, and we really got into feeling this is where we ought to be, and I started getting a local preacher's license and was on the track for vocational ministry until the rug got pulled out from underneath us.
Well, let's we're going to go to break now, but you're leaving us there on the edge of a rug, so to speak.
Okay.
When we come back from our break, I want to hear what happened in terms of the rug being pulled out and how you were led from there to business, which,
Well,
I think that's a big part of the story of what the Lord has done in and through you and Gwen. When we come back, more from Irel and Gwen Barrett. You know, sometimes we have a certain sense of the Lord's direction, and so we move in that direction. And we have this most sincere motives in doing that. There's almost a level of excitement in moving in the direction of what God could possibly accomplish in and through us. And then the Lord makes a move, even in some awkward, unexpected ways, for something else. More from Irel and Gwen Barrett when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Waihewa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia, Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, it can be a quite a bewildering experience when you feel the leading of God and you follow in the Lord's footsteps as far as you're able to understand, you take the next steps along the way. But then things change. And you say, well, Danny, things change. Well, for me, things have been quite drastic in my life. Well, perhaps you'll be able to resonate or relate with, and your heart will resound with what Iril and Gwen Barrett have to share. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host, and I'm so grateful that you're with us today. If you're tuning in right now or maybe caught the tail end of our last segment, look, you can get this program in its entirety as a free gift. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. And get this free podcast, listen to it, share it with a family member or friend. Iril, how did God lead you from that, your initial desire of vocational ministry, into business?
Well, our Young Life Club started off very well. When at the beginning, we had about 65 kids or so coming to club, Young Life Club, our meeting, it's what we call a club, on an evening. And that went fairly well. It tended to go down. But after the first of the year, the attendance really dropped off. And we didn't understand that frequently happens in Young Life, and so we became concerned, and we asked the people in Salem to help us, and unfortunately, the person they sent down was pretty short on encouragement and quite long on criticism, and so he told me that we had the wrong kids, and we just needed to stop club and start all over again. And before that, as I mentioned, we were really keen on ministry, and that just pulled the rug out from under me. I had, at that point, no direction. I was completely discouraged. I would sit around at home for a while and just cry, because I didn't know at all what I was going to be doing. And I just did little odd jobs to try and keep us going with enough food on the table, et cetera. But then I saw an ad in the newspaper saying that the university just 10 miles away from Albany in Corvallis was looking for a claims auditor, someone with a college graduate in accounting. And I had just 1 year of accounting, but nobody that was qualified would accept the job because the pay was so low. So I got the job, and it was right across the street from the business department at school. At this point, I had about 2 years of college, God must be changing the direction here, and he wants me to go into business. So when we accepted the job, and it just worked out so perfectly. Location, a job that I could work 40 hours a week, but not miss any classes. We just finally the light bulb went on. Business is going to be my thing.
When you sense that, because everything seems to have, at that point, began to fall into place, what other opportunities did God lead beyond that with, for example, your further studies in California?
Well, after I got my bachelor's degree at Oregon State, and during the time I was working in the controller's office, they had just the beginning of computer equipment there, punch card equipment, and I became quite interested in that. And so I talked to the dean of the business school at Oregon State, and he encouraged me to go to UCLA to help get a couple of scholarship opportunities for me. And so we moved to Los Angeles then to get a MBA degree at UCLA.
Tell us about the three fleeces you put out when Gwen's father asked you to take over his business.
Well, we had lived in Salem for a while before, and for a year, and Gwen had said, "You'll never get me back to Salem again."
I really meant that. I said, "Never will I live in Salem again."
I'd worked for Boeing for about 4 years doing computer type work, and but I got a little tired of working for Boeing, and so I started looking around for an opportunity. I thought I would probably work for a manufacturer of computers, and which would have probably meant moving out of Seattle, someplace who knows where in the United States. And Gwen's parents lived in Salem, and so her father came up with this idea that he wanted me to take over his business. I think the real purpose was he wanted to keep us in the Northwest. And so here I am, 30 years old. His business only had 1.5 employees. We didn't know if it would support us or not. And but opportunity was knocking at the door. And
What kind of business was it?
The business was a manufacturing business that we made the lock boxes that real estate people used in putting a house for sale, keys in the box. Car dealers used them. We developed a push button that's now sold in department stores, hardware stores all over the country, just for personal home use. So it grew quite a bit from that 1.5 employee.
So you designed that?
No.
That lockbox.
Her father actually had the design. He patented a key, which for the first several years was what I call the key to our success. Hmm. It was one that couldn't be duplicated easily, and so it gave a sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
We decided maybe it would be good to move to Salem, and we put out three fleeces, mm-hmm. and one of them was our house had to sell, and everything was down in Seattle at that point. Boeing was letting people go. At the same time, Iro got a raise and a promotion, which sort of muddied the water, you know, what is going on here. But, and so I had to tell my father that we would have to buy the company. I knew that working together would never work. And And so we had to take it solo. Let's see, what was the...
Well, the three fleeces were that our house...
Oh, a church.
Yeah.
We had to have a church that we felt good about raising our... We had two boys, raising our boys. And so that all fell into line, and we ended up by selling our house, and only one person came and looked at it, and he looked around and said, I really like this place. Is it negotiable? And I said, nope. And we sold it. He even said, you can pick your date for leaving. It was amazing. And my father had a real spiritual experience that had changed him quite a bit, where I felt that we would be able to work with him, and we were. So we left feeling quite certain that God's hand was on it, and this is where we should be.
Something happened at a certain point with regard to paying taxes and putting some money away to pay those taxes. Tell us what went on in that situation.
Well, that was in the early year, about the second year, I think, that we had the business full time. And I had set aside $22,000 or something like that for paying our taxes. But on the other hand, Gwen and I had tithed every dollar, every nickel that we received during our early marriage years. And so after visiting an accountant, he said, well, your taxes are about $22,000. So we had to decide if we were going to pay the government or pay the Lord. And we decided on paying the Lord, and our business went well, and that was the last... Well, I borrowed the money to pay the taxes, and after that, it was the last time we had to borrow any money for operations for quite a number of years.
Hmm. Well, Irel, you talked early on in this segment about your time with Young Life and your desire with kids, but it was a very disillusioning time for you. It seems
right.
to have affected you to the core. But your passion, your and Gwen's passion for kids did not go away. When we come back from our break, how did God revive that? And how did God continue to use Irel and Gwen Barrett in working with young people and reaching young people? Hey, it includes people from other parts of the world too. Stay with us. More from Irel and Gwen Barrett when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kari Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kari Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Oh, you might feel like your dream, you know, that divine ambition that God placed, well, it's a passion that the Lord put on your heart early on in life. You might feel like that has been put on the shelf. Or you might even feel like that dream has died. But did you know that God is a resurrection God? That the Lord can bring and breathe new life into dreams and visions and some of those desires. And in the process, He allows us to change and strengthens us in ways inside and out. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. You see, Danny, you're speaking in somewhat vague terms. Well, it relates to Irel and Gwen Barrett and their calling and passion to reach young people with the love of Christ. This is the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, Irel and Gwen Barrett. You can get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Irel, Gwen, why do you feel you've always been involved with kids?
Well, that is a question I don't know. It's always been something I still am. I think it's a God-given love that we have for kids. So I think that's just something that the Lord, I think, places in you. And so I started taking kids. I took a group of girls to camp when I had been married just a year. And I loved it. So that has been always something that I dearly loved. I've loved working with kids, but still do. Mm. So I've never outgrown that.
How about you, Irel?
I'd have to say that Gwen is really the lead in working with kids. But we've just felt drawn to kids right from the beginning, and when we moved back to Salem from Seattle, we had opportunity to do some work in the backyard that provided athletic facilities for kids, and that brought the neighborhood kids in, and we worked in the church, brought those in, and then we found that taking kids to camp was a great thing. And so the Lord has just kind of opened those doors and led us in the direction, not always working directly with kids, but in Young Life in recent years, it's always been in a support level in working with the committee that is very important in supporting the leaders. And and also the opportunity of being involved in acquiring a camp for Young Life.
Irel and Gwen, how did your boys respond? Because they were surrounded by kids growing up, weren't they? I can
they
just see
it.
That ballroom yes. filled with kids in Salem.
Well, in fact, that's what really got us back into Young Life. Our son, our oldest son, wanted to go to camp. And so Irel shows you how long ago, bought a 15-millimeter projector, and we got a screen and set it up down in the basement of the house on Lincoln Street.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil started bringing kids home, showing them the Malibu movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up with seven girls, seven guys, and they were just the right seven that went to camp. And so Irel and I went along, and I with the football coach and his wife. So we counseled. We were in the cabin with the girls and the guys were with the guys. And it was fun because one of the gals, the waitresses, one day at the camp, Phil turned around and said, "Hey, Dad." And she looked and she said, "That's not your dad." And he said, "Yes, it is my dad." And she said, "Oh, you wouldn't come to camp with your dad." And he said, "It is my dad. Dad, prove it." And finally, in desperation, he said, "Well, my mom is here, too." And at that, the little waitress just started laughing. She said, "Nobody would go to camp with their mom and dad." But we did. And from that, they came back, and we sent the 14 kids said, "Let's go." And before we knew it, we had over 200 kids in our ballroom mm-hmm. in our house.
And, well, I think we need to interject here just for a moment, because not many people in the world have a ballroom in their house.
Oh.
There is a special house that you're living in. And there's probably a little bit of a special relationship, I think, with Suzanne and her connection with it. But talk about the house, Irel and Gwen, that you keep referring to and this particular ballroom. And for some reason, I'm thinking there's probably more than a ballroom as part of the house.
Well, it was just a ballroom on the third floor. And we didn't really want to buy that house. It was Gwen had worked in it before. There were lots of problems. The heating was poor. It really was pretty run down. It was a well built house in 1924, but we were talking about moving in about 1971. So it had not been well maintained. But we were looking. We'd already gotten involved with kids through the church, and we wanted a place where we could gather at least 50 kids. And we looked all around and couldn't find any house that would do that. And this house had been on the market. It was a drag. Nobody wanted it. Gwen came home from a fundraiser and said, "You could not run fast enough to give me that house." But out of desperation, we bought it. It's a 12,000-foot house with, I don't know, six bedrooms or more, and a full basement, and a nice ballroom up on the third floor that held 200-plus kids.
Irel, did you buy it from the Livesleys?
No, there were a couple or three owners in between. We bought it from a dentist, Dr. Dale Parker. He and his wife got a divorce, and he moved out, and she said, "I want my own house." And so
it had been neglected, hadn't it?
It really had been neglected. The backyard was just full of blackberries. We couldn't even
see
the backyard
now.
Or a lot of the water features that were there, and but we were able to to clear that up. Got some our own landscaping, and so it's really a beautiful English two-door home.
And it had a secret staircase. I remember that so well. And Danny, my dad, provided the fuel oil for that house. His fuel oil company supplied that. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, really,
and it took me about a year. I was really rather annoyed with God that we had to move into that place, because the first year we lived with paper hang, well, first stuff had to come down, and then, you know, just all kinds of work. And so I was not a real happy camper about moving into it. I loved the house we were in. But after a year, all of a sudden, the light bulb came on, and I realized that God wanted us in that house. We started having foster kids right off the bat. The first month we were there, I went off to camp and came home with a little girl that we ended up by having as a foster child. So we needed all the bedrooms. We needed every inch of the house. So God had a purpose for
it. What became of that house?
And I think we lived there about 17 years. It was a good stretch.
Well, after our kids had gone on to college and Young Life was going strong in Salem, we were able to hire a full-time director. And in the normal way of Young Life clubs to meet is in kids' home. And when we no longer had any kids involved, why, they started meeting at other places, and it's a lot of house for just two people after our kids were gone and
our foster kids were gone.
we were approached by somebody asking if we'd be willing to sell it to the state of Oregon for the governor's residence, and we agreed to do that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's still that today, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I wonder. Yes. Well, I wonder what might God have had in mind upon the sale of that house. But well, let's talk about that when we come back in our final segment with Irel and Gwen Barrett. You know, the Lord blessed them. Blessed them with success in business, with the company they owned. And yet, when you hear about a house that they buy and that God uses to reach many, many young people, a house unique that on the third floor there's a ballroom, a house unique that eventually gets sold to the state of Oregon for the governor's mansion. But I wonder in their life if they ever had sleepless nights. You'll be surprised, maybe, when you hear their side of that story when we come back. Irel and Gwen Barrett.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
I wonder what the Lord had in mind. When Iral and Gwen Barrett sold their home, it became the governor's mansion for the governor of Oregon, and it still is the governor's mansion to this day. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, Iral and Gwen Barrett with us today. Iral, Gwen, so what do you think? What do you think God had in mind when you sold that house to the state of Oregon?
I know that a lot of kids look back and think about it every time they hear, and they think of their days in young life and the times up there, and it was a good time. Then to fill the void from selling that, why Iral got involved with helping to purchase the property that was given to us, but we had to get it rezoned and all of this. For the Washington Family Ranch, where all the kids go over. And he spent, sold the business, and then he got into the business of getting a ranch for Young Life.
Iral, can you give us a little background of the people you were buying that ranch from?
We didn't buy it. It was
well, exactly, but the people that had owned it?
Yeah, it was owned by a cult. Ross Neese purchased it, and they had, I don't know, 3,000 people or so that they put on this ranch. They built a nice hotel with two sections, 140 rooms. They built a what they called a greenhouse, but it was really their meeting center. It was 2 acres under one roof. They built a, they built 300 buildings. They built a water and sewer system for 3,500 people. And so, and then they were evil people, and the whole thing fell apart. The leaders left the country, and the property was just sat there. Insurance company bought it at a sheriff's sale, and then they tried to get rid of it. They sold it to a businessman named Dennis Washington, and he tried to develop it, but the neighbors wouldn't support that. And he tried to give it to the state of Oregon, and they couldn't figure out what to do with it. So about this time, we were looking for a property because our new Young Life president wanted Young Life to move from being in 6% of the secondary schools in the United States to 25%. But we didn't have camping space to handle that here in the Northwest. So Young Life was looking for a property, and they thought something in the Bend area, which in Central Oregon would be good. And at first we thought the property that the Bogwan had, which was 96,000 acres altogether, was just too much. But out of desperation, we took a look at it, and Gwen in particular had the vision for the development of the property. We had very few Young Life supporters to acquire the property at the beginning, but they certainly appreciate it now. But we kind of swam upstream and were able to have the property given to us. Plus, Dennis Washington, the donor, gave us $2,500 right off the bat to do the greenhouse into a sports center.
Now, wait, don't you mean 2.5?
Yes, you're right.
$2.5 million. Yeah, a little different, a little more.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty important here. And then the middle school program in Young Life is really developing fast.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed a camp for that, but we didn't have any money to buy. So Dennis Washington stepped up to the plate and gave us $33 million to build a whole new camp on the property there. And it's got the Disneyland waterscape, and it's an awesome camp. We've already outgrown it, so Dennis Washington has pledged another $20 million to help us add on for another dormitory and some further improvements on both camps.
Now, is middle life called wildlife?
Yes.
Yes, so Young Life is for high school, Wildlife is for middle school. Is that correct?
Correct, that is right.
And then we have College Life.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Young Life.
Parents are listening. Parents are listening and saying, that's correct. That's the correct name, Wildlife.
It is.
Just to take a couple of steps back, were there sleepless nights when you were in business?
Yes.
Or was it all just... Oh, go ahead. Explain a little bit about that, and how did God get you through?
Well, the fellow that was our marketing manager departed mutually, agreed that he was going to leave, but then he went with a competitor that was able to begin taking away a significant share of the market, and I really didn't know what to do, and so I called on a very strong Christian brother that is a very skilled in business, has background with an electronics company, and a really strong Christian brother, and he agreed to come up and help us get the ship going, and later on agreed to come up and temporarily take over as president of the company and to package it for sale and sold it so that we got a good price out of it. It was, I consider him an angel sent from God.
Mm. Well, you've got the angel in that person that God sent to you, and I think another angel is named Dennis Washington, right?
Yeah. Well, he has been, he says it's his legacy, and it is, I am thrilled that he feels that way, and the Lord bless him.
Isn't his wife a very committed Christian?
Yes.
Yeah,
she met the Lord at a Bible camp in Montana when she was young.
Irel and Gwen, I want to make sure we use this remaining few moments to speak heart to heart with a dear listener today who may be having themselves a bout of sleepless nights in their own situation. It might be health, financial, their own business, a relationship. A word of hope to them that you feel God would have you share.
Well, the Lord never abandoned us. He pretty discouraged at times, but he's been there, and he continues to bless us and open opportunities, and we feel very much fulfilled in what God is calling us to now. Not much of it's young life, but just in our own community and church and others that are in our 80s, but still serving the Lord.
And the Lord has really, in those down times, and those were down times, they were very, very spiritual. Iral says, I've gone through every verse that I can think of that is of encouragement, and he still felt down. But the Lord, you know, when you got to the very lowest, he received a telephone call, and it says, brother, how are you doing? And it was our angel that has helped us out. So it seems like things never go just perfect in life. But the Lord is in our lives and is wanting to make us stronger and better, and it's not an easy. Being a Christian is not for a wimp.
Well, I also want our listeners to remember your decision when you were at a crossroads. Are you going to pay your taxes or are you going to tithe? And you chose to tithe, and God honored that. And you never wavered in your faith. And I think that's so encouraging for our listeners.
Well, and I would also share that, at least as I hear Iral and Gwen, the lowest moments, and you may be in a low moment right now, and you might say, Danny, Suzanne, you have no idea. And we might not have an idea, but the Lord knows. And you know, the lowest moment may be your closest moment to the next breakthrough in your life. Mm-hmm. And the next step that God will open up in the next season of your life, filled with hope and new beginnings. Hey, heartfelt words from Iral and Gwen Barrett. My friend, you know, God's timing is indeed perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that, my friend? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support and your prayers to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Matthew 21:22, Jesus says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Iral and Gwen Barrett. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.